To Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. And we will read verses 1 to 11. Jeremiah 33, verses 1 to 11. The name of the message is, I will heal and cure them. I will heal and cure them. Jeremiah 33, verses 1 to 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of the city and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with dead bodies of men whom I have slain in mine anger and in my fury, and for all whose wickedness I have hid my face from the city. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Thus saith the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place, which ye say shall be desolate without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, that are desolate without man and without inhabitant and without beast. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land, as at the first, saith the Lord. Now in these verses here before us, we have the gospel of grace given to us in providential type and in picture. In providential type and in picture. Paul has told us that all things happened to Israel of old. They were given for our example, to teach us and to comfort us in the way of grace. Romans says this, Paul pens this, For whatsoever things were aforetime written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So the things that occurred to Israel were given for our example. And remember, Israel is a picture of the church in the Old Testament. Now turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, but keep your finger there in Jeremiah 33, because we'll be going right back there. And we see Paul writing about the Israelites here. And we'll read verses 1 to 13. Moreover, brethren, I would, 1 Corinthians 10, 1, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now look at this. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of the serpents. Remember, all who looked to the serpent that Moses raised up were saved, and all who didn't perished. They were perished. Well, not all of them, but a lot of them, 23,000 of them died in one day. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of the serpents. Neither murmur ye. We shouldn't murmur. We shouldn't murmur about people, and we shouldn't murmur about the things of God. Look at that. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples. They were examples for us, beloved. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. So all these things are common to man. All these temptations that Paul just listed there are all common to man. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. But note, Paul tells us that Israel was an example for us. Example for us. Now let's go back to Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33. And we see in verse 26 that the Israelites were taken into captivity by the Chaldeans and then delivered by the decree of God. Then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for I caused their captivity to return, and have mercy on them. And have mercy on them. Well, the same is true of spiritual Israel, isn't it? The same is true of spiritual Israel. We were taken captive by sin, weren't we? Keep your finger there in Jeremiah 33 and turn to Romans chapter 8. We were taken captive by sin. We were taken captive by Satan. And the holy justice of God, it had us captive too, didn't it? Because it had a demand upon us. The law and justice of God had the just demand upon us. But we've been delivered from that. We who are God's people, we've been delivered from that. That's the glad tidings of the gospel, like I spoke of this morning. We've been delivered. Look at this in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 30. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That's God's people, that's his elect. But I love that, called according to his purpose. I don't think any of us could say we were looking for God. We who are the redeemed of the Lord, can we? We weren't looking for God when he saved us. But we were called according to his purpose, beloved. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. What did he call us out of? Darkness, bondage, sin. And God called us with an effectual call, didn't he? The Holy Spirit's call was effectual in our lives, because no one can resist his call. In whom he called, them he also what? Justified. Well, we looked at this morning that Christ was raised for what? Our justification. We're justified in Christ. And notice this is all past tense. Have you noticed that too? Yeah. In whom he justified, them he also glorified. We're seated in the heavenlies in Christ. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 33 now. We'll look at verses 6 to 8. And we'll take note of the blessings which are given in these verses. The blessings which are given in these verses. And as I said, we have a providential type and picture here of the gospel of God's grace, which has been given to and shown to God's people in and through Christ alone. Jeremiah 33, let's look at verses 6 to 8, and then we'll break down the verses here. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Look at that. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. Now, when we fell in Adam, right, we're born now dead in trespasses and sins, and we are captives to sin. We're captives. That's our natural state. And then it says, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. Now this verse very plainly proclaims that our sin is against God. And the sin of everybody in this world, that their sin is against God. It's against God. Because he says of his people that he's going to take their iniquity away, pardon their iniquities, for which they have transgressed against me. So let's first consider verse 6 here. It says, behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. I will bring health and cure, the scripture says here. How? How does God bring that to his people? Well, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of this, all our spiritual diseases, of which we could never cure ourselves of one, sin and our sins, have been put away, and the believer is eternally healed in Christ and Christ alone. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah 53, and then put your finger in 1 Peter chapter 2. I will bring health and cure. As I said, this is a picture of the gospel of God's grace providentially placed before us. Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 6, speaking of our great substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking of what he's done in the room and place of his people. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, verse 4. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, the only way we have peace with God is through Christ, was upon him. And with his stripes we are what? Healed. Healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All the sin of God's people was laid upon Christ, and he bore it, didn't he? The sinless sacrifice. My, what a Savior. Now turn, if you would, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, in light of this, chapter 2, in light of I will bring health and cure. I'll bring health and cure. So it's spoken of in the Old Testament there, and then look here in the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 25. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ, verse 21, also suffered for us. This brings forth the great substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who did he suffer? Who's Peter writing to? He's writing to believers, isn't he? He's writing to believers. And he says, Christ suffered for us. For us. Oh, this is wonderful. We know Christ suffered for sinners. For us. Leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Look at this. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes you were what? Healed. Healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. I will bring health and cure, it says in Jeremiah 33:6. And we see there, by his stripes, we are healed. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. We'll look at verse 6 again. And the second point I'd like to see, the second blessing I'd like us to see brought forth here, is he will reveal unto his people the abundance of peace and truth. The abundance of peace and truth. Look at verse 6 again. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Now note, he will reveal it unto them. See, the gospel is a revelation from God. When he reveals Christ to us, oh my. Oh my, we flee right to him. We flee right to him. And look at this. He'll reveal unto us the abundance of peace and truth. Now apart from the revelation of the word of God, the word of truth to our heart, we're ignorant of the things of God. We're ignorant of peace with God. I know I was, and I know you were too before the Lord saved you. It's just, I thought I knew who Christ was, but I had no idea who he was. But when he revealed himself to me, oh my, and I know it's so for you too. He reveals to us and gives us the abundance of peace and truth. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, Romans says in Romans 5:1. Justified by faith, and who's our faith in? Well, it's in Christ and Christ alone. We have peace with God. It's something that the believer has. It's something that he has. With God, how? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Only through Christ and Christ alone. By whom also we have access and by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Christ and Christ alone is the only way of salvation. He alone is truth. The scriptures declare this. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. True salvation for sinners is only found in Christ, nowhere else. Nowhere else. He is God's salvation. And salvation is in him alone. Outside of Christ, there's no redemption for sinners. None. None. Absolutely none. But in Christ, there's redemption. There's forgiveness of all our sins. All of our sins. Scripture says this in Hebrews chapter 9. It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. This speaks of the substitute. By his own blood. By giving his life. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained, I love this, having obtained what? Eternal redemption for us. He obtained it by his work, by his sacrifice. He obtained eternal redemption. And all who believe in him, all who trust in him, all who rest in him have eternal redemption through Christ and Christ alone. It's absolutely marvelous. We have revealed to us the abundance of peace and truth. Who's that? Christ. Christ and Christ alone. Turn, if you would, to John 14:6. We all know this verse, but let's turn there in light of this. In light of having revealed unto them the abundance of peace and truth. We know peace only comes through Christ and Christ alone. We know that Christ alone is the true righteous one, don't we? He's sinless. He's perfect. He's spotless. And we know the believer is clothed in his perfect righteousness. Oh. In Jeremiah 33, it says this also, in those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall be dwell safely. Actually, before we look at John 14:6 there, I hope you still have your finger in Jeremiah 33. Go back there quick, just quickly, and look at this Jeremiah 33:16. But keep your finger right there in John 14:6. Look at this. Tucked in, right in with these verses here, a little further down, verse 16. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. Dwell safely. And this is the name whereof she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. And we know that the only reason that we're called that is because we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. That's the only reason. Because the Lord is our righteousness, isn't He? And He alone. Now go back to John 14:6 and keep in mind, I'll read the verse again in Jeremiah 33:6. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Now look at this in John 14:6. Look what's proclaimed of our Lord. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Cross-reference that with what it says over there in Jeremiah 33:6. I will reveal unto them abundance of peace and truth. Who's the truth? Christ. Christ and Christ alone, beloved. So we see the truth of this verse in Jeremiah 33:6 fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called the truth. The truth. Let's go back to our text in Jeremiah 33. And oh my, we know the believer only has peace. And it's an abundance of peace, isn't it? And we know the truth. And Christ is the abundance of the truth. I like to say, and he's truth manifested. And that's what he is. That's what he is. He's the incarnate one. God incarnate in the flesh. Eternal life for his people. Let's look at verse 7 now. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return. And I will build them as at the first. Now remember how I mentioned where the Lord found us. Where did the Lord find we who are his blood-bought people? Dead in trespasses and sins. That's where he found us. That's where he found us, wasn't it? Absolutely dead in trespasses and sins. Loving the sin we were in, not having a care for the things of God, not having a care for the gospel, not having a care for the Savior. That's where we were. And we were absolutely powerless to deliver ourselves from that captivity. Absolutely powerless. We had no power to deliver ourselves. But by the obedience and sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, beloved, we've been liberated. We've been liberated, which is the next point. I will cause them to return. We fell in Adam, didn't we? Yeah, he's caused us to return to God, hasn't he? Oh my. Thy people shall be made willing in the day of his power. He's caused us to return. He's caused us to look to the Savior. And it's him and him alone. Scripture declares this, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. Free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now remember in Galatians, Paul was battling those who said you had to be circumcised to be saved. Basically, those who were adding something to the finished work of Christ. He says, well, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Why? Because salvation's in Christ and Christ alone, plus no works at all. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, he's a debtor to do the whole law. So if someone brings a law towards you and says, well, you've got to do this in the law, then you know what you say to them? You say, well, if you say you have to do that, then you're a debtor to the whole law. We can't even fulfill one point of it. But boy, the whole law, everything. And then Paul goes on to write, Christ has become no effect unto you. So people who trust in their works, Christ is of no effect to them. None at all. Just a pinprick of works, too. Just a pinprick of works. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now turn, if you would, to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And think of this in the light of, I will cause them to return. I will cause them to return. Again, I'll read Jeremiah 33:7. I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return and will build them as at the first. Look at this in John chapter 8. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ has set us free, hasn't he? He set us free from the bondage of sin that we were in. And we could, again, never free ourselves. Never. Jeremiah 8:31-36. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and what? And the truth shall make you free. Free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. See, we were slaves to sin and we didn't even know it in our natural state. That's what we were. God set us free, beloved. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the son therefore shall make you free, what? You're free indeed. My. So the believer can say, I'm free in Christ. He's caused us to return to God, hasn't he? He's turned us to Christ. We were made willing in the day of his power. So we see again in the scriptures we're looking at a type and picture of the gospel of God's grace. Let's go back to our text again and look at verse 7. And I will cause them the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at first. Note, I will build them. Now note as we're reading these verses, note who's doing the work. It's all God, isn't it? It's all God. Again, let's read that verse. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at first. This is the next point. I will build them. Now God's elect rest upon the foundation of who? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's our foundation, isn't he? He's the chief cornerstone. And upon this foundation, our Lord declared, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. See? I will build them. This is a work of God, beloved. Christ, again, is the chief cornerstone, the foundation in whom all the believers, Scripture says in Ephesians. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians, and then we'll go back to 1 Peter where we look, but we'll go to chapter 2 this time. But Ephesians chapter 2 and then 1 Peter chapter 2. In light of this, I will build them. In light of Christ being the chief cornerstone, beloved. See, again, we have a picture of God's grace right here before us. Because this is all God doing this. And it's all by his grace and by his mercy. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20-22. Look at this. And are built upon, writing about believers, upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So he's the foundation. He's the foundation of the building of God. Christ is. He's the chief cornerstone. In whom, look at this, all the building fitly framed together. All believers are part of the spiritual house, which is of God's making, the spiritual temple of God, which is the body of Christ, right? But we're fitly framed together. How? By the master builder. I will build them. Remember Jeremiah? I will build them. Being fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. The Spirit dwells within us. Now turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2. You know the body of Christ is living stones. We're living stones, beloved. We already looked at that one portion in the Old Testament, I believe last year in one of the messages, that we're stones made ready, right? And we're being hewed and worked upon here while we're on this earth to fit perfectly into the... It's incredible. For when we get to glory, we're being conformed to the image of the Son right now. Look at this, though, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4-8. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones, that means living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now remember, in our natural state, we were just a dead stone, weren't we? But we're born again now, the Holy Spirit of God. We're living stones, beloved. We're built up. Built up. Wherefore also it contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. A chief cornerstone. Elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is what? Precious. He's precious to us, isn't he? There was a time when he wasn't precious to us, but oh, he's precious to us now. Oh, he's precious. He's everything to us. He's precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore that which believe he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Oh my. So to one he's precious, and to the other, he's a stumbling stone. Let's go back to our text in Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. And we'll notice also here again, the next blessing which is found in verse 8. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. So again, remember, this is a providential type and picture of the gospel of God's grace. How can this happen? I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. How can this happen? Only in Christ. Only in Christ. There's no other way. Only in Christ bearing our judgment in our room and place. Only in Christ being our substitute. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And then Titus chapter 2 says these wonderful words, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. All iniquity. And purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. And look what our text says. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity. My. The next blessing is also found in verse 8. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. Now note this in verse 8 here. I will pardon them from all their iniquities against me. Who alone but God has the authority and right to declare the guilty justified in his sight? We know we can't make ourselves justified in his sight, but God can make it so, can't he? And he can declare us justified. And do you see what he declares here? He declares the believer in Christ justified. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. All there means all. When God says all, it means all. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55 verses 6 and 7. Have we not, we who are the blood-bought children of God, we who are born again by the Spirit, have we not been abundantly pardoned when our God tells us, and I will pardon all their iniquities? Oh my, that is an abundant, abundant pardon, isn't it? Let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9 with this in mind. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. Look at this in Nehemiah chapter 9. We'll read verses 7 to 17. 7 to 17. Thou art the Lord, the God who didst choose Abraham, and broughtest him forth out of Ur, out of the Chaldees, and givest him the name of Abraham. Verse 8. And foundest his heart faithful before thee, and madest a covenant with him to give the law, or to give the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it, I say, to his seed, and hast performed thy words, for thou art righteous. There's a wonderful statement right there. There's a whole sermon right there. God's righteous. He's righteous. And didst see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, so he didn't lose sight of his people. And heardest their cry by the Red Sea, and showest signs and wonders upon Pharaoh, and on all his servants, and all the people of his land. For thou knowest that they dwelt proudly against them. So didst thou get thee a name, as it is this day. And thou didst divide the sea before them. The Red Sea parted, beloved. It really parted. And it stood up. And the Israelites walked across dry land. And the Egyptians thought, we're going to get them. And they took off after them, didn't they? And that sea just fell upon them. But not a drop of water fell on an Israelite. My. Thou didst divide the sea before them so that they went through the midst of the sea on dry land. And their persecutors thou throwest into the deep as a stone in mighty waters, they just sunk. And picture that, beloved, as God's wrath and judgment falling upon the enemies of God's people. The Israelites walked on dry land. That's a picture of the church, isn't it? Right? My. But oh, that wrath fell upon their enemies. Oh, my. Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Thou camest down upon the Mount Zion, and speakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant, and gavest them bread from heaven, for their hunger, and brought us forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in to possess the land which thou hadst sworn to give them. Now all that is a picture of us going through this world, isn't it? And how the Lord provides for his people all of our lives until he takes us home to glory, and then we're with him forever. Then we're with him forever, beloved. Oh my. But they and our fathers dwelt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But look at this, and this is where we're getting to right here. But thou art a God ready to pardon. Our God's a God ready to pardon. He pardons in Christ and Christ alone. Oh my. Gracious and merciful. We looked at the mercy of God this morning in Sunday school. He's full of grace, beloved, and he's merciful to his people. And of great kindness, and forsookest them not. All thy rebellion, he didn't forsake them. Oh my. Think of all our rebellion, even after we're saved. He doesn't forsake us. He doesn't forsake us. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Let's look at those verses again. Those verses there in 6 to 8. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And that's been shown to God's people in Christ alone. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. We fell in Adam. He's brought us back to himself, hasn't he? We're born again of the Holy Spirit of God. We were made will in the day of God's power to flee to Christ. Oh, it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. We're free in Christ, absolutely free in him. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. Now, that pardon that of all our sins and all our iniquities only comes to us in and through Christ and what he's done. He died on Calvary's cross as our substitute, and he paid it all. And through him, we have all our iniquities forgiven, all our sins forgiven. Again, this is glad tidings, good news for sinners, isn't it? Wonderful news for sinners. And when God the Holy Spirit moves upon someone who does not know Christ and reveals to them that they are a sinner, they flee right to Christ. He makes them willing in the day of his power. And that's our hope. Our hope is if you don't know him, that God would make you willing, that he revealed to you your sinnership, just like he did to us. And now we who are saved, we still see ourselves as sinners, but praise God, we're saved. We're saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, in him alone. Now, a result of all these blessings which we have seen, a result of all these, this picture of God's grace and mercy towards his people that we have in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, and the result of that should be, as we see in verse 9 here, a name of joy, praise, and honor. We give glory and honor and praise to our great God, don't we? And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Oh my. Therefore we should worship our great God, shouldn't we? For all the goodness and prosperity that I procure, which means in the Hebrew to make, to accomplish, to complete. That's what that word means in the Hebrew. To make, to accomplish, to complete. He's did it all, hasn't he? In all those verses we looked at tonight, I will. I will. Oh, my beloved. This is a work of God. And the frequently used Hebrew verb of this word conveys the central notion, one Hebrew scholar said, of performing an activity with a distinct purpose. He does this with a distinct purpose. Because he has a people. And they've been redeemed by Christ. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's absolutely wonderful. Salvation, these verses basically proclaim that salvation is of the Lord. It's of the Lord. It's his doing from beginning to end. He's the Alpha and the Omega of our salvation, beloved. And it's all in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we just saw with that word, it's all by divine appointment. It's all by divine appointment and by divine decree. Now that makes the believer shout for joy, doesn't it? To know that I'm saved according to divine appointment and decree of God. Oh, praise his name. Heavenly Father, we thank thee again for your mercy and grace towards us in Christ. We thank thee for the picture we saw tonight of the gospel of your grace in picture in the Old Testament. Oh Lord, we love thee and we praise thee. We thank you for revealing yourself to us. We pray that we would think upon these wonderful truths that we've heard of today, that we would take this week and meditate upon them and think upon them, and may they give us strength and grace through this week. In Jesus' name, amen.